We're looking particularly at the book of Proverbs. This is another one in the series we've been doing, looking at what is right and fair. Could you have the next slide, please? So our memory verse, sorry, I'm in somebody's way. Our memory verse for this week is Proverbs 21:3. And in the easy to read version, it says, "Do what is right and fair. The Lord loves that more than sacrifices." Now think about the context, the central place in the laws that Israel were given involved various sacrifices, sacrifices of praise, sacrifices when they sinned and they needed to seek God's forgiveness, all sorts of things. And yet, the overriding message here is that, yes, we give sacrifices to God, but actually what God really is looking for is that sacrifice of our heart, the sacrifice of our lives, living in a way that is right and fair. And the next one, please. This is one of the reasons we actually read the Bible and the book of Proverbs within it. One of the reasons is to learn how to live this way, to get some practical help. So at the beginning of the book of Proverbs, it tells you what the Proverbs are for. And verse 3 says, "They will teach you to develop your mind in the right way. You will learn to do what is right and to be honest and fair." So as we read the scriptures, we can learn things about how to live in a way which is the way that God wants us to be living sacrifices. That's what the Bible is for. The next one, please. And we're told that to do what is right and fair, to live in the right way, we need above all the wisdom that only comes from God. Proverbs 2:9, "If you listen to him," that's to the Lord, "you will understand what is just and fair and how to do what is right." So it's a case of we've got the scriptures, but alongside that, as Christians, we have the Holy Spirit. We listen to the Holy Spirit's voice to guide us as to how to live. And later on in Proverbs, when wisdom is kind of portrayed as a woman, as a sort of personified as a woman, it says, wisdom says, "I walk in the way of justice, of righteousness, along the path of justice." This is personifies God's wisdom in our lives when we live in a right and fair way. And the next one, please. So living in a way where we do what is right and fair is an intensely practical thing. This is not a head thing. It isn't just a going through the motions or a rituals thing. It's a practical, everyday thing, not just for Sundays. And particularly in Proverbs, we find it talks about not oppressing the poor, helping the disadvantaged, and it particularly links it to the concept of justice in the courts. To do what is right and fair is to make sure that the underdog gets their justice. Not if it's not there, not right, but to do what is right in the courts, to give right justice, not to oppress people, not to diddle them. Proverbs 17:23, for instance, says, "The wicked accept a concealed bribe to pervert the ways of justice." And this is this kind of idea of what is just and fair being twisted and distorted. So that's where a lot of the examples in the book of Proverbs are to do with justice in the courts. But most of us aren't in the courts very often. Next slide, please. So what does living justly, living in a right and fair way, look like in our lives in 2022? Now I'm going to tell you a rather odd story, but hopefully it'll help put some flesh on it. I was 19 before I came to faith, and I had friends who were praying for me and giving me stuff to read and kind of ushering me in the right direction. But I spent quite a few months thinking about it en route. And I came from a family where, you know, we would have viewed ourselves as very law-abiding, very upright. We didn't steal from anybody. We didn't cheat on our taxes. We just lived in a way most people would think was normal. But, and I think this is probably the wider culture, not just my household, there was a sense in which some situations it didn't apply quite the same. So in those days we had conductors on the buses in London, not drivers. And if the bus conductor was upstairs when you got on and he was still upstairs when you got off, well, you know, if you didn't pay your fare, that was just a bonus. Got a free trip to the swimming pool. If you went to buy something in CNA's, those of you old enough to remember that clothes shop, and the lady behind the till gave you too much change, well, you just said thank you very much and walked out the shop. You know, that wasn't stealing. I know to now it sounds bonkers, but it wasn't just stealing. So it was that, you know, it was that was the big organisation. They were going to miss a few pounds, you know. That wasn't being dishonest. In my kind of, you know, in the kind of milieu in which I grew up, the context I grew up in. And yet I can remember when I was thinking about committing my life to Christ, I can remember thinking, I should have to remember to pay my bus fare. Now that sounds really stupid, you know, it's big, you know, some big moral angst about it. But I had the sense, even at that stage, to know that following Jesus was not going to mean carrying on as normal and just being saved. Yeah. It was going to mean me changing my basic attitude to something. And I don't know why, but that's always stuck in my mind. I can remember that moment of thinking, oh, I should have to live differently. So what does it mean for us now in Exeter? That was not 2022, that was a long time ago when I was 19. It might mean going, and this is going back to Maria's talk, so can we change the slide? That's going back to Maria's talk, thinking about how we speak about people and how we speak to them. Do we speak justly of them? Are we fair about them? Are we saying positive things? If you remember back to Maria's talk, if you can't remember it, I suspect the recording's on the web still. But it's not just other people. We find in Proverbs a reminder that the way we act towards other people is often reflected in the way we act towards other things in life. So Proverbs 12:10, good people take good care of their animals, but the wicked know only how to be cruel. This is not just how we act towards one another in the church, it's how we act towards one another outside the church and how we act towards the wider environment that we're in. So those are a couple of things we can get started. And the next one, please, come on. More generally, there are areas in which we can think about doing what is right and fair. Maybe somebody at work or at school or college is getting bullied. We can stand up for them. Or somebody at work is just, everybody's talking about them behind their back because they're a bit odd, you know. And it's not fair. They're being picked on. So do we sit there silently thinking, I'm not going to join in so that, you know, because I'm a Christian, I won't join in on this. Or are we actually going to take steps to try and be fair to them, to be proactive? We can also stand up for the oppressed in other countries. More widely, we can think about praying for persecuted Christians around the world. Being honest and transparent in our dealings with others. It was a few years ago, I felt God speaking to me about how I react when I do things wrong. And I used to sort of just try and, you know, fudge around it all. And that challenge to actually own up to it, to say, no, I did this wrong, and to, you know, to try and do it right another time. We can try to represent ourselves, can't we? We want to look good, we want to look efficient, and there's sometimes that temptation to perhaps burnish our image a little more than is right and true. So being honest, and being honest when we talk about other people as well. And of course the New Testament and the Old Testament both tell us to love our neighbour as ourselves. And nowadays, particularly, it's a global neighbour. It isn't just the city or the town you live in. It's not just Britain. But our lifestyles affect the way other people around the world live. And I'm not just thinking about climate change. I'm thinking about slavery, sweatshops, getting nurses and doctors from countries that can hardly spare them to come to fill our hospitals. There's all sorts of ways in which our lives affect people around the world, and so there's potential there for thinking about how to be right and fair. God's not going to be saying all of this to all of us, but these are just different areas God might be speaking into. Next slide, please, Carl. Just to dig a little more deeply into this, I appreciate the easy-to-read version. It makes something that's easier to remember as well for your memory verse. But there's a little more depth here if we look at the New Revised Standard version, which has, click the next. Thank you, that's lovely. To do justice, to do righteousness and justice, those are the kind of the longer words, same thing, is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Now, and the next one, please, come. When we look at the Hebrew words, which that translation is picking up, they are, the words for justice and the words for righteousness in Hebrew are often found together over 30 times in the Old Testament. And they're usually together when they're talking about God. This is God's character. God's character is to show justice and righteousness. And because the scriptures are addressed to God's people as a whole, not just individual lives, but to the way we live corporately, it's been suggested by one modern translator that, in fact, another possible translation in our context would be social justice. Righteousness and justice together make social justice. The next slide, please. So we could perhaps think about, in thinking about how to put this verse into action, we can also think about how to do social justice. The Lord loves that more than sacrifice. And the next one, please. And this isn't just in Jeremiah, and it isn't just me picking up some fancy translation. We find it in Jeremiah as well, and throughout the Old Testament and throughout the New. So Jeremiah 22:3, this is what the Lord says: do what is right and fair. So it's the same passage, the same phrase: do what is right and fair. Protect those who have been robbed from the ones who robbed them. Don't hurt or do anything wrong to orphans or widows. Don't kill innocent people.
Right.
In the more complicated English version, it says, deliver from the hand of the oppressor. This is not just a kind of everyday thing. These are all wider situations. Now, what's interesting about this passage, and I'm not knocking the easy-to-read version, but I always would suggest that we look at two or three different translations when we're doing Bible study, always. And I found in this one, to my surprise, that there was actually a word missing. All the other English translations I checked have three groups in this sentence. Before widows and orphans, there was another group mentioned. Could anybody like to guess what that is?
That didn't work.
Don't work with children and animals and cars. So, for some bizarre reason, this is completely missing from the easy-to-read translation. I have no idea why, but this is key. You know, these groups are often grouped together in the Old Testament because they were the ones who were least powerful in society. They were the ones who didn't have as much voice or often got overlooked or ignored. It wasn't sort of, ah, kids, how lovely, how innocent. In their society, it was, oh, kids, how powerless, how unimportant. So you didn't worry about them unless you were told to. And this is why. I mean, they haven't got a father or a husband to be the breadwinner, to look after them. They have no means of support. And you look at the Book of Ruth and you get the picture of what it was like for a couple of women living on their own in that culture. So this is a key point all the way through the Bible. And this is one of those things we can help keep in mind, these groups. If we're thinking, how can I be just and fair? Think about these groups. Next slide, please come. So ways in which we might think more broadly, and I'm aware there's a recession starting and nobody's going to have a lot of money, so we're all going to have to be careful about what we're doing with that money. But thinking about what we buy and where we buy it is important. We don't want to buy something which is being made by somebody who is being exploited and working 22 hours a day in a building that looks likely to collapse. We don't want to be eating chocolate made with cocoa that was picked by slave labor, slave chew or child labor in Africa. I know we don't. Sometimes it takes a bit of effort to find out what's best to buy, and sometimes it will be more expensive, and I know that's not an easy ask at the moment, but I'm just asking, even if we have to get there, then at least pray about the situation that might have led to that thing, even if we can't afford anything else and we have to buy something that we're not sure about. Let's pray for the people who made it as we use it. Give them honour, whoever they are and wherever they are, give them honour and praise God and thank God for them. That's one, perhaps one way we can think about that. And of course that extends to animals as well. I mean, in this country we have a very good animal welfare framework, but other countries do not. And I've put here first world exploitation, you know what I mean. We are inheritors of the empire. We live in the benefit of the exploitation that our ancestors did over centuries around the globe. So there is a sense in which we have an obligation to help support people who are suffering because of what's happened in their countries. Next one, please come. So do what is right and fair. Just thrown a few ideas out this morning. It's not rocket science, it's just a few ideas. And they won't all be anything that you are relevant to you, or they won't be things that you feel you can do anything about. But all of us can pray for situations, and all of us can stand up for somebody being bullied at work or school or things like that. There are things which are within the reach of all of us.